going to just share a little bit of my story, why I'm here, why am I doing this. I'm going to go over some of the rules and the guidelines of the Lifeline program. I moved here in 1977, and when my parents opened up a bakery here, I've been coming here for a long time. I got married, had a baby. It was all great. Life was really good. And out of the blue, my husband got cancer, and he was gone in 3 months. And we were only married 8 years. My daughter was seven. It threw me for a complete loop that I had took a long time to recover from, and it still, you know, hurts. The grief was overwhelming. I went a little crazy. I turned, you know, I was a believer then, and had a great relationship with God, but I turned my back on God because I was so angry. And I was let down by a lot of people that I trusted. My pastor, which was really, that was like the straw that broke the camel's back. He actually stood up here. He's not here anymore, and he's not a pastor anymore either. But he actually stood up here and said that my husband died because he didn't have enough faith. And that really set me off. And I've never really had an alcohol problem, but let me tell you, alcohol became a real good friend of mine because it was just overwhelming. I had to take care of a little girl, and there was no grief recovery group. I didn't have anything like that I could go to. I didn't know anything about any step programs or anything like that. So fast forward then a year later, I met my second husband-to-be. I was in no position to get into any kind of relationship or anything like that, but I did, and it was wrong from the beginning. I knew it. I knew it was, but I did it anyway, and found my way back to God eventually, and then through a step program I actually went to at one of our churches. I went for my husband. I said, you need this. So I went to support him, but yet I realized that I needed it more than anything. It started to uncover a lot of things about me that I didn't realize, how codependent I am, how I allowed things to happen because of the way I was raised, which we'll go into another whole testimony part about that. Very verbally abused as a child. I was abused by my father. I ended up, though, getting 25 years of a verbally abusive man, verbally and emotionally abusive. That was, he never hit me. He didn't need to, but the words stay longer inside of you. And I allowed it, and I kept going. And then one night, it just got worse over the years. And after our son left, I had a son as well. And after he left the house, I was alone with him, and it just got worse instead of better. And he, you know, claimed to love the Lord also and everything. But we went to counseling. We tried everything. And then it was very, very ugly. And then it was all of a sudden, one night, I came back home, and God spoke to me right there. And then he just said, you need to step away. You've got to stop trying to fix this and let me work. But you need to move out of the way for right now. So I literally packed up and moved out because he wasn't going to go anywhere. I didn't expect a divorce. That wasn't in the plan, but obviously it was in his plan because he, instead of getting help, he found somebody else right away. So needless to say, got divorced, and God had brought me back here. He just laid everything out so great. And I mean, it was amazing. But through the step program that I was in, I realized, well, first of all, my relationship with God just got better and better and better and closer and closer. And so I've came here not to run away from my problems, but to heal, to find my way back to myself, because I lost myself in those 25 years. And it actually brought me back to a place where I should have been 25 years ago. God wanted me to trust him with my life and my daughter's life, and that's what I should have been doing. But I was so hurt and so angry at God and the world and everything else that I pushed that away, and so I didn't trust him with everything. And that's something that my step program helped me realize, is that trusting God is, that's it. I needed to do that with everything, every fiber of my being, from my finances to my, you know, living by myself, which I've never lived by myself. So, so it's been a growing experience. I'm not here to say I'm all better now. You know, I went to the STEP program and I'm all healed. It's a daily journey. And I need this as much as anybody else does. I need to be here for the accountability, to be honest, to have a safe place to share. And that's what this is all about. It's about living in that freedom. It's not living in I've arrived. It's living in a freedom every day with your relationship with Christ and knowing that we need each other to support each other and to be there for each other and to say, hey, I need a hand, you know. And so that's where I am now. So I'm very happy that we're here together. Hopefully soon there'll be more people, and we're going to grow in that. So I'm going to go over the guidelines on the rules. Keep our sharing focused on our own thoughts and feelings and our actions. That's really important because it's not going to be about your wife, your husband, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your kids. It's about you. What are you feeling? What are you going through? It's focusing yourself and using I statements. It's like with my husband, with my ex-husband, I was always blaming him. It's not that, what was my part? I had to figure out what my part was. I allowed things to happen, so I can't just blame somebody. Nobody can make you feel anything or make you do anything. So we're going to keep your sharing about you. You're going to limit your sharing to about 3 to 5 minutes. Probably when there's just a few of us, it'll be a little bit easier. Because we want to make sure everybody has a chance to share. We want to give everybody the opportunity to be open and honest and to have a chance to talk. We all have a story to tell, so we all need to respect everybody's opinion. We all have hurts, habits, and hang-ups, and that's what we're here for. There is no crosstalk. And that's when somebody is, you know, two people are, you know, somebody's saying, and then somebody jumps in and, you know, tries to say something else, trying to interrupt. And we don't want to do that. We want to respect everybody has something to say, and we want to respect their opinions and just respect that person. There's no fixing. This is not about fixing somebody's problem. This is not saying, you know what, I need to tell you, this is what you need to do. You got to, you know, this is not what this is for, you know. Everybody has an opinion on that, and they might say, oh, I got this great book for this, you know, so you need to do this and go here. That's not about that. That's not what this is for. You can go to your own counselor for that or something like that, but you want to be really careful not to do that. Again, respecting that other person is really, really important. This is a big one. Anonymity, number 4. Anonymity and confidentiality are huge. It's kind of challenging here on the island because anonymity is pretty much impossible. People see you walking in. It's like I had a friend that went to AA and she didn't want anybody to know. Well, people see you walking in the building. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not rocket science. But when you're in here, when you're in your small group, and even in this big group, it's very important that you respect if you heard something or you're talking. It stays here. It stays in your small group. It doesn't even mean, you know, you go to your, you know, like I'm not going to go to my sister and say, oh, hey, I was just in this group and this and blah, 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 blah. That's not what this is all about. I don't even share a lot of things with my sister because you have to find that safe person to talk to. You know what I mean? It's different. Some people understand things better, some don't. And you'll know who to share those confidential things with. But in here, what you hear stays here. Does that make sense? It's very important. I like here it says, this is called gossip. We're not here to gossip, you know. That's not what this is for. Number 5 is offensive language has no place here. I know it comes out sometimes. I'm not going to say it never happens. But we are a Christ-centered place. So it's very important to kind of guard your tongue. It's very important. And I slip every once in a while and that S word might come out. But, you know, you would want to respect people, and we want to respect God. On the same token, and we're going to make sure we cover this every week, since this is about a lot about addictions, please don't come drinking or using. This is not the place for that. We want to make sure that you're clean and sober, and so you can actually have a clear mind. What you do is private, you know, out of here. We're not about judging you. We're not judging anybody. This is a good, free place. This is a good place to feel not judged. This should be the best place to be, the safest. So I want to make sure that we respect that for everybody. Also, when you're talking, you're sharing. In my other group, we had classes about sexual abuse and a pornography class and things like that. So when you're sharing, you want to kind of be careful that you're not too graphic. Some people might get offended by that. It's also not about, oh yeah, my party days. I used to drink and do this and brag about your party days and stuff. Nah, not so much. We don't want to do that. So just want to be sure that everybody is aware of that. So we want to really respect everybody's personal lives, if that makes sense. Okay, does that cover all of them? That is the last one, yeah. Oh, yes, and indicate by raising your hand. Yes, that's always a good thing. You don't want to just interrupt anybody. I lived with somebody for 25 years that I could never get a thought out because, yeah, anyway, I'll save that for another story.